From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of January 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Jackie Vakes is out of the office this afternoon. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, will join us to give his estimates of the size of the Brazilian crop and, well, the Argentine crop as well. He'll tell us about the soils and water holding capacity in each of those nations and what that means with the rainfall that they've been getting or not getting in the case of Brazil over the last month or month and a half or so. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast directly with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City as we close out our half hour together here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. And he's headed not that way, but into Iowa this afternoon. I think you're going to the Farm Futures event in Coralville, is that right?
Yes, coming up here to Farm Futures. They have a ag finance boot camp the day before their main event, which is Thursday and Friday. And so coming over here today and here just a little bit, we're going to talk about how you put together a marketing plan and some of the things you need to be thinking about and just kind of go through some scenarios that we might be faced with here for the 2019 crop.
So you're right there in Hawkeye territory, the home of the University of Iowa. You're wearing your orange and blue today, right?
Yeah, of course I am. I'm not going to support the yellow guys, but still don't like Bruce Pearl, going back several years, so you probably know what I'm talking about there.
Oh, I wasn't asking for commentary, but that's all right. Okay, so what happened in Chicago today, in your opinion? We had a little bump in the soybean market.
Well, you know, The soybean market for me, the only thing that I saw that kind of piqued my interest, if you will, which of course I've been driving all day, so I've been trying to keep up to date as much as I can. But yeah, I saw Informa's numbers today, the projection for acreage, and they're dropping just looked like around 3 million acres. Well, as some people are talking 5 or 6, and I think whenever a company like Informa, who typically does a pretty good job of projections, comes out with something like that, when you plug that into the balance sheet, it certainly changes things around just a little bit. 3 million, essentially isn't a huge drop, but still, I mean, it's substantial. And so I think that in the long-term scenario, it's going to maybe pull us back a little bit from all this talk of a billion-plus carryout moving forward.
So it buoyed the market. I'm wondering if you're of the mind, with soybeans back up at the top end of the range or close to it, the producers who have soybeans to market should make a decision on that as it relates to the old crop.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at old crop beans, if you stop and think about the kind of payment we got that came along with the beans, and then you look at the difference between today's bean price versus the heat of harvest, when several folks were burdened with, below $8 prices for beans, you're still looking at an awfully good situation for net profit. Now, of course, you don't want to leave too much on the table, but a lot of producers say, what I'm afraid of, if you will, is selling beans and then the U.S. Chinese, they work out an agreement on bushels, and there you go with a 50-cent increase in the bean market. If that's the case, I like having something in place. Take a little bit of that MFP payment and put it on a limited risk position and sell the beans, get your cash in hand, and start to focus maybe a little bit more on new crop.
There will be a few that'll say, but Matt, I'm watching the South American weather, and it looks like Brazil's going to stay dry. They're already dropping the size of the crop. We'll talk to Michael Cordonier here in just a bit. I know he's dropped his numbers down to 115 million metric tons. That from, he started at 124. There were many that were above that at the beginning of the season. Still good enough reason to think about old and new crop sales?
Right. So when we came into the previous marketing year, we were looking at world supply of a shade under 100 million metric ton. I think it was 97.5. Whereas this year, the projection is coming out of this year, with a normal size Brazilian crop would be around 115 million metric tons. So if you drop 10 million metric ton off of the original projections, you're still above 100 million metric ton. I don't know that I can get super bullish there. But the bottom line is sometimes I feel like we get just a little bit too friendly to the market whenever we've had the market act a little bit better than what we originally thought. I definitely would be very interested to hear what Dr. Codronio has to say about the soybean market. But for me personally, I can't get super friendly, especially with U.S. and world stocks still at what I would call burdensome levels.
Turn our attention to corn. We started this conversation with the Informa numbers for soybeans. For corn, their acreage was up 2.4 million, I think, to 91. Oh, I don't quite recall what that number was, but it was up 2.4 from last year. So it must be, what, 91.5 or thereabouts?
Yeah, they're 91.5, which I can buy. I've been thinking that to get to 91.5, though, we're probably going to need the right type of movement, either in the corn market or soybean market, either soybean prices dropping. I mean, whenever I'm looking at November beans where they are, in this 950 area here lately, along with corn in this $4 to 405 area, I don't think that it's a no-brainer for most folks, especially looking at their profitability spreadsheets. And so, if I'm talking about South American weather, maybe I'm a little more excited about what it might mean if you see this dryness linger into the safrinha crop. And so if we end up getting a little bit of a chink in the armor, of that corn crop down there, I definitely feel like it could work its way into the export market, which should do nothing but support an already somewhat friendly situation that we're looking at for corn.
Yeah, we have an example of that from a few years back when they had a drought in the second crop corn, and it really pushed the market higher in that, July time frame, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, so much. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And keep wearing the orange and blue there in black and gold territory.
I will do so. Hopefully I come out of here alive.
Good luck. That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. Just one quick news story for the day. This one about the shutdown and the FSA offices. They're open today, but with a skeleton crew. However, all FSA offices across the whole of the United States will open tomorrow. All 9,700 employees have been called back by U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, called back to work, that is, though they'll be coming back without pay. At least without a paycheck. The president has signed legislation that will give them back pay once the government reopens. The FSA offices will be open starting Thursday, tomorrow, and regular business hours through February the 8th. And then after that, should the government still be closed, FSA offices will be open on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, if needed, to provide additional administrative services from the United States Department of Agriculture to the farmers of the nation. One quick note here. Remember, those FSA employees are working without pay, though they will get it eventually. So be nice to them. I'm sure they're as frustrated as you are. Well, we're now joined by Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisor. He's a specialist in soybean production in South America, actually most of the crops in South America. He now joins us from his Hinsdale office. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We appreciate that. I see that you lowered your soybean production for Brazil down to 115 million metric tons. Can you tell me a bit about the reasons behind that decrease?
Well, the weather in Brazil continues to be drier than normal and hotter than normal. Now, this has not been a typical summer rainy season. The rains have been scattered, the coverage has been uneven, and I think the major concern now continues to shift a little bit further north in Brazil, into central Brazil and the northeastern Brazil. And the forecast up there does not look good at all. Now, the soybeans are about 6% harvested. All the early yields are disappointing, with the exception of maybe Western Mato Grosso. And I did lower my estimate 1 million tons this week to 115 million. I have a lower bias going forwards. If the pattern doesn't change, I think it's going to go lower. This has been a very unusual rainy season. And now in mid-January, this is the peak of the rains. So going forwards, they tend to start tapering off. And the forecast right now does not look good for a lot of central and eastern Brazil.
Well, let's talk about where they are in their cropping production system. And I think it may be a bit all over the place. We know that they're ahead of schedule in harvest. Even in Mato Grosso, I think they're three times the pace they normally
right.
have been. That's their largest soybean producing state. It's a very large state. I think about a third of the soybeans are produced there out of Brazil. I don't recall that number exactly. But dry weather at harvest wouldn't make much difference unless, of course, there's a wide range of maturity of soybeans across
right.
not only Mato Grosso, but the rest of Brazil. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's been the big deal, especially in southern Brazil. The early maturing soybeans were filling pods in December. And a lot of areas in the southern part of the country went 20, 30, 40 days without a rain, late November into December. And it just hit the early maturing beans at the wrong time. And in that part of the country, maybe 40% of the soybeans are early maturities. So it was just devastating for the early maturities. You also got to remember, December 21st is the summer solstice in the southern hemisphere. So then the sun is directly above northern Paraná. And Paraná is the second biggest state. So when you have a high pressure system and no clouds, no rain, and the sun is right above your head, it's really hot. So things dry out very quickly. So the early maturing soybeans were really hit hard. Now, in Mato Grosso, I would say they probably have had the best weather so far of any state in Brazil, especially towards the western part of the state. It's been pretty good. And like I said, that's the only place in the country where the yields are coming in sort of okay. In central Mato Grosso, yields are down 10 to 15%, and also it's a function of the maturity. Early maturities we hit the hardest. Later maturities probably won't be as bad. But Mato Grosso right now is about, I'd say, 15, 16% harvested. They're planting their second crop of corn as we speak. So I'm also getting a little bit concerned about that crop because my worry is that if the second half of the rainy season is poor like the first half was, then the second crop of corn is going to start off sort of on a dry note. And then maybe the rains might end early. And if that happens, then you got a really big problem for the second crop of corn.
And then I take it that the places that have been hurt the most are actually in the Northeast, so Tocantins and some of those other states.
I would say, let's go this way. What's been hurt the most so far, I would say, would be Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, kind of the southern areas. Now, what might be hurt most in the future, you're exactly right. It's northeastern Brazil, especially western Bahia, Goiás, western Bahia, and some of those areas there. Literally, that's a semi-arid region. There are cactus growing over there. But for the last 3 years, they've had very good rains. The yields last year in western Bahia were like 60 bushels an acre. Nobody could believe how good they were. The rains were excellent. It's just the opposite this year. Western Bahia, I don't think it's gotten any rain during January. I'm looking at the radar map right now. There's nothing on it now. And they see the next chance of rain is in February. So that area of the country produces about 11 or 12% of Brazil's soybeans. And it could be a very bad year over there. Hasn't happened quite yet. They planted late over there. So the beans over there are now flowering, setting pods. So we'll see. But in my heart of hearts, I think the total production is going to keep going down in future weeks.
Now, it's important to note that you are a PhD or a doctorate in agronomy. I've got a couple of other questions for you.
Sure.
About the soils in Brazil, and it's a very large area. Here in the United States, we think of Iowa, Illinois, parts of Indiana, and the water-holding capacity of the soils as one of the most important parts of that production system because they are capable of managing water quite thoroughly. The soils in Brazil are different?
Yes, they're tropical soils. And in fact, if you take Mato Grosso, and just to give the listeners a view of the size of Mato Grosso, it produces as many soybeans on average as Iowa plus Illinois plus half of Indiana. So that's how much soybeans are produced in Mato Grosso. And that state is as big as the Midwest. So it's a huge area. The soils drain very quickly. A typical January rainfall for the month of January, Mato Grosso might be 10 to 15 inches. So it rains a lot. So it drains very, very quickly, which means it might rain an inch today and you're back out in the field tomorrow. But also, if it doesn't rain for a couple of days, the soybeans start to wilt very quickly because the water drains very, very fast.
When we talk to the meteorologist, I think over the last 2 months, they've said sporadic rainfall. But sporadic here would be okay. Sporadic there is not okay, I take it.
No, if you miss rain for a week, you're hurting. Now, if you go into southern Brazil, places like Paraná, Paraná probably has the best soils of any place in Brazil. They're very deep. They're pretty good, a bright red in color, and they're okay. But still not as good as Iowa or Illinois.
And then move south for me. Argentina can actually have a really high water capacity holding soil. Tell me about the problems they've been suffering through.
Now, in Argentina, you're exactly right. If you would go blindfolded to Argentina and go out and say Santa Fe, for example, take the blindfold off, you couldn't tell me, are you in Champaign, Urbana, or are you in Santa Fe, Argentina? It looks the same. It's got, you know, corn and soybeans and sunflowers and bluegrass and cottonwood trees and sycamore trees. It's tropical. It's the same prairie-type soils that we have in the United States, just as good as anything in the United States. Their problem is the reverse. When they get heavy rains, it's as flat as a table, and the water drains very slowly. So water sits there for a long time, but on the counter, on the other side, it holds the water very, very good. Now, the problem in Argentina has been they've had very heavy rains in some of the north central areas, so there's been some localized flooding. They've lost an estimated 200,000 hectares of soybeans due to the flooding. But as always is the case like this, outside the saturated areas, their crops are doing pretty good. And actually, I'm not too negative on Argentina at all. The corn right now, at least the early planted corn, is filling grain and maturing. The later planted corn is in vegetative development. The soybeans in general are blooming. So I think Argentina is going to do okay. It won't be the greatest crop in the world. It'll be a lot better than last year. Last year they had a terrible drought. So a lot better than last year. And they're sort of okay. And just outside of that saturated, sort of localized flooded area in north central Argentina, the crops are doing quite well. And they've been getting better every week as the summer has gone by.
Hey, one final note. Combined, the South American production, about the same or bigger than last year in total?
Well, I can tell you really quickly right here. Last year, South America did about 171 million tons of soybeans. Now, that's Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Bolivia, Uruguay. Right now, I have South America at 185 million tons. So we're up 14 million from last year. But if you go back into September and October, we were up about 25 million from last year. So it's really come down from what we thought would be the crop. Give you an example. I never got above 123 million metric tons for Brazilian soybean production. But some people had gone up to 130 million tons. Well, now I'm down to 115, and there's people below me. There's some people saying below 110 million tons. We'll see if that happens or not, but it's going to be bigger than last year, but not nearly as big as what people thought.
Thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Always my pleasure.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's start in South America. The Brazilians are still suffering through some dry spells. What do we know about the coming weeks?
Well, it doesn't look like there's going to be a tremendous amount of change coming up anytime real soon here. The high-pressure ridge aloft, which is really responsible for most of this diminished rainfall, is stuck, and it's not likely to move away for the next couple of weeks. That means we'll get into the first week of February, and we'll still have the same scenario playing out. We are looking for a breakdown in the ridge as we get into the end of the first week of February into the second week, but a full restoration of normal weather is not very likely until we get into the second half of February. And that's obviously way beyond the point where these crops can really benefit tremendously from the improved precipitation. Now, speaking from the full season crop perspective, now second season corn and other second season crops like cotton will all be able to benefit from improved rainfall in the latter part of February and into March. But there's a lot of crop suffering that's going to occur between now and then. And we do not expect it to be absolutely dry, but the northeast corner of the country will continue to have the greatest loss in moisture potential, and there's just not going to be meaningful rainfall there. That's near Bahia and parts of Minas Gerais and neighboring states. There's also the problem in Paraguay, which is quite chronic at the moment, and neighboring areas of Bolivia and Mato Grosso do Sul, Brazil. And that little pocket there is also unlikely to get enough rain in the next 2 weeks to counter the moisture losses through evaporation, and temperatures are going to be pretty hot. So those two pockets are going to be definitely dominating the whole scenario, and there will be further losses in production. Areas in between will have opportunities for rain once in a while, and that will help to maintain relatively good crop conditions from southernmost part of Brazil into some center-south locations, so from Rio Grande do Sul into a portion of São Paulo and southern Minas Gerais. Those areas will continue to do relatively well, along with northern Mato Grosso. That part of the country will also have timely rain.
Some of the cropping areas in Argentina have had the opposite problem of Brazil, where it's been dry. They've been really quite wet. Do we have concerns there still, or is their season looking better?
Well, we have to keep it into perspective here. A lot of the excessive rains that occurred in Argentina were on the fringe of crop country, including Corrientes and northern Entre Rios and Chaco and parts of northeastern Santa Fe. That would be like the equivalent of maybe Missouri, Kansas, and a part of the U.S. Delta having a real serious problem. And it leaves the rest of the production region in pretty good shape. And we really haven't had much problem in the central or southern parts of Argentina. The rainfall outlook for the balance of this week, though, is going to bring on rounds of heavy rainfall, and local flooding is going to occur, but it's not going to be the kind of damaging flood that has occurred in the northeast part of the country. It'll be typical of what we see in the summer here in the States, where we get some strong thunderstorms or produce some flooding rains, but a couple of weeks later, you don't even notice that there was a real serious issue there. So, and that's kind of where I think we're going to be. So Argentina will still come out looking fairly good.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this 23rd day of January, a Wednesday afternoon. I'll be out and about tomorrow with the folks at Farm Credit Illinois in Paris in the morning around 7:30, and then we'll be in Milford in the afternoon. In between, I'll produce the Closing Market Report, so no update at the commodity markets, at least the trade, but we will talk with Dan Zwicker tomorrow on the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.